Welcome to In Clear Terms with AARP California. Conversations on issues impacting Californians of all ages. Here's your host, Theon Gordon.
Hello, you're tuned in to In Clear Terms with AARP California. Get ready to explore the real deal around issues and policies that impact Californians of all ages, particularly older adults, and see how you can connect with AARP and make our state more livable for all. I am an AARP volunteer and your host, Dr. Theon Gordon. Today, we are joined by Seth Bofelli, Senior Advisor on AARP's Fraud Prevention Programs team, to discuss common tax season frauds and scams, how to spot them, and how to report them. Seth, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Theon. I'm really excited.
I am very excited to have you as well, because we are right here in the middle of a season that may see a lot of fraud right after the holidays, of course. What is the AARP Fraud Watch Network? First and foremost, just explain that to us.
Yeah, thanks. So first of all, you know, one of the things that AARP spends a lot of time on is helping people earn more, save more, plan for their financial future. And a big part of having that nest egg last through retirement is making sure it doesn't get stolen. And so what the Fraud Watch Network really does is provide information, resources to help people understand what scams are out there, how to spot them, how to avoid them. We have lots of great resources, everything from a website that's got all kinds of information at aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork to, we actually have an 800 number that people can call if they want to know if an email is legitimate or not, if they think they might be inside of a scam, or even if they've been victimized in a scam. And that number is 877-908-3360. Monday through Friday, we'll have dedicated AARP volunteers, just like you, Theon, who will be answering that phone, who can help people out. And it's a great resource, especially for those who have been victimized, who really don't exactly know what happened to them and are trying to figure out how to recover.
Now that we're in tax season, and unfortunately, scammers take advantage a lot at this time of year, what are some of the common tax scams that the Fraud Watch Network is seeing?
Yeah, so first of all, you know, I have some hot off the presses numbers that I just wanted to talk about. Last year, according to the Federal Trade Commission, there was $10 billion in reported fraud losses nationwide. And that's just, you know, literally the tip of the iceberg, because most of these crimes don't get reported. In California, that number was $1.4 billion. So what we know of, $1.4 billion in consumer dollars left your economy, left people's pocketbooks, their savings accounts. And so we want to try to equip everyone with the information that they can, you know, to try to stay a step ahead, because these are sophisticated crimes. These are criminal networks using the latest technology to try to get in your wallet. And so the one thing that they do that we know time and time again is they follow the headlines. So whatever the, you know, whether it's Medicare open enrollment season or there's a special government program, whatever the season is, whatever the news is talking about, usually there's going to be a scam associated with that. So March, April, what are we talking about? It's tax time. It's time to get those financial documents bundled up, get to the accountant, get them turned into the IRS. And so we see really just a kitchen cabinet of different scams related to tax season that come out. And then, you know, once April 15th passes, that they kind of go away and we move on to the next scam. And so it's really important this time just to be aware of some of the scams out there, because they're going to show up on your email, on your phone, in your text messages. And so if you know they're coming, you're even more armed to stay a step ahead of them.
And they're getting so sophisticated with these things that it really does look real many times.
No, it absolutely is. And so, and they're also, you know, if you think about, you know, we're still just a couple of years past the pandemic. And during the pandemic, there was a lot of different tax incentive programs that were out there to help people who might have been out of a job, who are trying to get back on your feet. Now, almost all of those have expired at this point, but not everybody knows that. And so that sort of playing on that confusion or that uncertainty is something that just leads people, right? You know, what a professional criminal scammer wants is to create like an uncertainty and an opportunity and a sort of a reason for you to take action. So you probably have seen these emails. Sometimes they show up as social media ads, or maybe, you know, one of those wrong number text messages that come to our phone, and they'll say, hey, I just got a huge tax break using this government program and you should take advantage of it too. I can help you out. Click the link or call this number. And so those are the things to look out. Anything that mentions a government program that they can help you take advantage of is a huge red flag.
Wow. Well, let's explore some of these a little more, starting with, since we're talking about taxes, starting with the Internal Revenue Service, also known as the IRS, tax scams. What are some common IRS scams?
Well, you know, the most common is what we call an imposter scam, and that's when somebody contacts you claiming to be someone they're not. And usually government agencies are a common form for criminal imposters. One, because we have a relationship with them. There's a sense of trust, and at least there's a sense of authority. And so if they pretend to be the Medicare or Social Security Administration or IRS, they start that conversation with a perception of trust. So when they ask for things like your Social Security number, your bank account number, your routing number, you're more apt to believe that they need it. So you could get, say, a call claiming to be the IRS saying, we have a refund that didn't make it to you, or they're unclaimed funds. We just need to confirm your Social Security number and your bank routing number, and we'll get it right to you. And so that those calls that come out of the blue, that's another big red flag. The important thing to understand is that by and large, the federal government does business through the mail. Unless you've already called them and sort of said, hey, I have a problem with my taxes. Can we set up an appointment? So usually if they're contacting you by phone, it's because you've already reached out proactively and they're following up on it. So anything that comes from either Medicare, Social Security, or the IRS that doesn't come in the mail automatically should be treated with a little bit of skepticism.
So when we think about these type of scams, especially in terms, like I said, we're talking about tax season and thinking about the IRS, if they were to ask for, let's say, your banking account number, your routing number, what would that do? What is the scam?
It really is just trying to get access to your account. So those personal information, the financial information, all of that is an opportunity for identity theft. I mentioned before the numbers from last year for California. Identity theft was the number one most reported type of scam in California in 2023. And out of all 50 states, California was 10th in the number of identity theft claims. So identity theft is a big issue in California. The most popular or the most frequent type of scam involving somebody's identity last year in California, 52% of all complaints were about credit card fraud. So, you know, they might not break into your bank account, but they have your Social Security number, your routing number. Now they can open up a credit card in your name, send the bills to themselves, and start racking up bills that they're never going to pay in your name. So that's another thing that's really important this time of year. If you have a reputable accountant that you work with all the time, that's great. At the end of that process, there's a lot of paperwork, and that paperwork has a lot of financial information. And so it's important, you know, sometimes you have to keep sort of 3 to 5 years of that, but older stuff you need to get rid of, and you need to get rid of it safely and securely. We always recommend having your own shredder or, you know, going to a business that does shredding. I know AARP California, couple times throughout the year in different parts of the state, host community shredding events. That's another great opportunity to gather up those sensitive documents and dispose of them safely.
Absolutely. It's important to dispose of those documents. So that's a scam that I think people may not be aware of, because sometimes people will think, well, they can't get into my bank account if they have my information. So what is the big deal? Well, they could actually open a credit card in your name. I hadn't even thought how far scammers go. So you mentioned with the IRS in particular, in terms of contacting people, that normally they contact through the mail. How can our listeners tell if it's really the IRS contacting them or not? Even through some mailings I've gotten things that at the very bottom in very small print, it'll tell me that it's not really the agency that they are claiming to be. And I notice and I'm going, well, wait a minute, is this the agency or is it not the agency? But many times it's just a sale for something. Can you tell us how can we tell if the actual agency like the IRS is contacting us or not?
Yeah, Tian, unfortunately, in this day and age, we all sort of have to play detective in our lives. I talk to my kids. I think I'm raising two of the most paranoid teenagers in America. But like you almost can't take anything at face value anymore. You always have to be verifying it. So if you get that, say you get an email and you think, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to get an email from the IRS, but this looks really legitimate. And, you know, it makes sense that they might be asking me this, even if it's via email, but I want to confirm. So the first thing to do is if there's a phone number, if there's a link on there, don't call that number. Don't click on that link. Go to irs.gov. There'll be a contact information on there. You can contact someone in person or on the phone and get those questions asked. In general, with all this stuff, it's always a question of how did that contact get made? Did somebody reach out to me and give me a link or a phone number? Or did I look up that phone number myself using a trusted resource or website and call proactively? If you're the one that's initiating the contact, it's going to be much safer than, and I know we're always in a hurry and we're trying to cut time out of our daily lives because so much is going on. It is really easy just to click that link and trust it, but you're always going to be safer taking your own due diligence. Sort of the same thing happens with my bank. You know, from time to time, there'll be a suspected charge that'll pop up from my bank and it'll come in my email. I know it's legitimate. I've seen it before, but I just want to be extra safe. So what I'll do is I'll either take out my bank card and flip it over and call the number, or I'll go online myself, log into my account, and then make the inquiry myself because I know I'm initiating it. I'm initiating it through trusted resources, and so it's going to be secure.
So important to go to trusted resources. So that's one way that we can tell if it's real. To be proactive, go to the trusted resource to find out. Now, fraudulent preparers are also something our listeners should be aware of. What are these ghost preparer scams that are going on?
A lot of these scams we talked about before, the identity theft, the spoofing, the imposter scams happen, you know, can happen from another country with somebody on a phone who's just sort of calling thousands of numbers at a time. These type of scams are a little bit more in person. And so the good news there is that law enforcement has a better chance of tracking these people down because you go to them in some cases and give them your information and but essentially what it is somebody that's not qualified, they're not authorized to do taxes. They'll fill out your information and they'll give it back to you for you to file. And usually what they do, and here's the big red flag with these scams, is that, you know, you can go to any reputable tax place to get your taxes done. And they're going to tell you up front, it costs this much to get your taxes. It doesn't matter how, you know, sometimes I suppose if they're super complicated, they might charge a little bit more, but it's a flat fee. These crooks are going to say, we're going to charge you based on the percentage of what you get back. And they're also probably going to promise that they can get you a lot of money back. So what they'll say is, they'll do the tax return. They'll show you you're getting thousands of dollars back. They'll collect your fees. They'll leave it to you to actually turn it in and to sign it. Their signature won't be anywhere on the document. And that's really a red flag because, one, a tax preparer has to sign the document with their ID that the IRS gives them because they have a liability too in making sure it's accurate. When they hand it over to you and make you do it all yourself, then when the IRS does the math and says, hey, this doesn't add up, you're asking for more than you're entitled to, that's on you. Plus that inflated fee that you gave the criminal is gone and you're never going to get that back. So, and again, you know, taxes are complicated. And so I get somebody to do my taxes too, but it's somebody that I sought out, you know, especially you know, with these ghost scams, the best way to sort of be on the lookout for them is, one, anybody that reaches out to you with an offer to do your taxes for them or for you. Two, anybody that promises you that they're going to give you a big return, because nobody can promise you that. Your taxes, your taxes. I can't, you know, no accountant knows whether or not I'm going to get money back or not until they actually look at my information. And then three, that sort of pay by percentage of what you get back. That's not how legitimate accountants do business.
Well, that's some great red flags that tax preparers are frauds. Those three tips are amazing for us to look out for. So when we are looking for a tax preparer, how do we choose a legitimate tax preparer? Are there any resources you have or any tips on how to choose?
Yeah. So a lot of this comes back to your own network. I know that's how I found mine. My brother-in-law is a financial planner, and he said, I use this guy. So first of all, if you start with your own network, somebody that you know and trust has used this person before, or has used this company or the service before and vouches for them, then you have that intel, that information. Two, if you find somebody, say you don't know, you don't have any references, so you find somebody either online or in the phone book and you want to verify, there's some services like the Better Business Bureau is a great partner on a lot of our fraud work. The Better Business Bureau usually can tell you if there's complaints against a certain person or not. And then third, you can always go to irs.gov. They actually have a search feature where you can type, you know, say you found somebody, they have a name. You can go search them up and it'll tell you if they're in the system, if they have one of those IDs that I talked about. If they're in the IRS system and they have an ID, you know, there's never 100% guarantee, but if they're official with the IRS, you have a much better likelihood that they're legitimate and they're not going to rip you off.
Well, those are great ways to find a preparer, but I love the idea of using your own network first and foremost. We all know somebody who knows somebody. And so that's a great way to find a tax preparer. We talked a little bit about identity theft and how big it was, especially in California. I want to talk more about stolen tax identity. How can a tax identity be stolen? And what are steps to prevent that from happening?
I think a lot of time it's like anything. It's how safe you are with your information and your data. There are things like phishing emails that happen, again, clicking on links, things that you do without thinking about them that open up your computers to malware, where people can get inside of them, sort of sharing things. Then that's really like data security for all of us is really important. Having things like updating the malware on your computer, having a password protector so you're not using the same password on all websites, are really simplistic things on all websites. I think the second part of your question, what do you do if you suspect it, is always report. I talked about before, $10 billion lost last year, but it's just the tip of the iceberg, because the reality is most people say, oh, I got taken advantage of. They blame themselves and then they just assume nothing can happen. Because the reality is a lot of times you just can't get your money back, but you still need to report it. And the sooner you report it, the more likely it is that you're going to have a positive outcome. Especially if you went to somebody to do your taxes, maybe for the first time, and then all of a sudden your refund doesn't show up. So that person might have routed it to their own account, or they might have used your tax ID to claim it for themselves. So all scams are important to report as soon as you suspect that you've been taken advantage of. But this one is particularly because the sooner you report it, the better chance you have of either recouping your money or catching the criminal that took advantage of you.
Well, that's an important point, that we have to report these things when they happen, fraud and scam. And many times I know as an older adult myself, sometimes we can feel, oh my gosh, I got taken advantage of, and we get embarrassed and we don't want people to know that something like this happened to us. But we have to realize it happens to all ages. And yes, particularly older adults, but it can happen to anyone. And so we have to be vigilant in reporting these things.
And I think the thing to understand is, like, we are all under attack day in and day out. That FTC report I've been talking about, 44% of all the complaints came from people under the age of 30. So young people are getting just as many attacks as older folks are. You know, the reality is an older adult loses more because they have more to lose. They have that nest egg that's built up, and those scammers are going to go after every dollar they can. Whereas with a younger, you know, somebody, a millennial, somebody younger who's just kind of starting to accumulate their nest egg or their wealth, you know, the criminal knows that they're only going to get so much out of this person. So sometimes those scams are a little bit so smaller dollar amount, but we all can be victimized. I always tell people this, if you talk to somebody who got, you know, stuck up in a parking lot for $50 in their wallet, you would feel all kinds of empathy for them. But that empathy doesn't always apply to somebody who lost $50,000, you know, in a romance scam. So they're both crimes. And the one person lost a lot more than the other person, but they don't get the benefit of the doubt. They don't get the empathy, the compassion. They just kind of feel like you made a mistake. You did this to yourself. And that's a huge reason why somebody doesn't report. And think about that person's experience. You know, like this tragic thing happened to you. You can't tell anybody because you're just ashamed of it. And you have to live with that. And so then all kinds of other health implications come from that, you know, depression, isolation. And you know, so we want to reach those folks as best as we can and support them. And the first way that happens really is by stepping forward and saying, this happened to me. It was a crime. And I need, you know, the police need to know about it. People need to know about it. Because if it happens to one of us, it could happen to any of us.
Yes. And when we do report it, we help the next person. And that's the other thing. If you don't report it for yourself, report it for the next person who may get scammed, because it's time to put a stop to these scams. After we do the filing of our taxes, many times you do your filing, you're done. You're like, yes, it's over. And maybe I made it on time. But after the filing, how could somebody find out if they got scammed on their taxes? We kind of just turn that over and think everything is fine.
Yeah, you know, a couple ways is, you know, again, if somebody has access to your tax ID or your routing number, the refund could get sent somewhere else. The other thing too, and this is another kind of offshoot of the pandemic. We don't see it as much. We did see it in a couple of years. When a criminal gets a hold of somebody's identity, they don't really use it right away. So think about a lot of the big corporate hacking scandals that happen. The first thing you do is you get credit monitoring for free for a year. And so a criminal knows, hey, if I just got this person's social security number, date of birth, bank account number, if I use it right away, it's probably going to get caught by the system because they're on alert for it. But if I sit on it for, you know, 5-6 years, maybe sell it to somebody else, eventually that data becomes sort of ripe for somebody to use. That's where a lot of the credit card scams that we're seeing in California happen. During the pandemic, where this really popped up is unemployment. So many people were out of work. The state governments were trying to get unemployment out the door as fast as they could. Enter the scammer who has all kinds of personal information and now can just start filing unemployment claims because they have names and social security numbers. They create their own address to get the checks sent to. So what we saw, not so much this year, but in previous years, is that especially in 2021 and 2022, people would come in to do their taxes and then they would get a statement from the state saying you're liable for this much in tax income on the unemployment that you collected. Well, wait a minute, I didn't collect unemployment. I wasn't employed. So that was one way that people found out at tax time that, oh, by the way, you've been a victim of identity theft and you didn't even know about it. And so that's another kind of scam that came out during tax time in the last couple of years.
But is there a way to find out after you file your taxes if you've been scammed? Is there any other way to find out other than the next year you see something's missing?
I think the real, you know, once you've filed and put your information in, like, I guess there's two ways. Is if you have been a victim of one of these ghost individuals, you'll probably hear back from the IRS that there's problems with your return, that it wasn't, you know, that the math didn't add up, that you're not entitled to a refund, you might owe money. So that's one thing. The other thing is if you're, you know, a victim of criminal preparer who put in their own routing number. And so either you're going to get contact from the IRS and say, hey, the math doesn't make any sense here. You're not entitled to what you claim, or you're going to file and you'll be waiting for your money to get deposited. and it won't get deposited at all, and it won't show up. The most important thing you can do is just contact the IRS and say, my tax return was filed a month ago. It still hasn't shown up in my account. And so that's one thing. You can set up your own account online with the IRS where you can check this thing. That, of course, is another way that scammers will try to get people to take advantage of people by offering to set up their IRS account for them. A lot of times with government, and we see this a lot in veterans-related scams, these criminals will offer for a fee to do something for you that you can do yourself for free. And so we can, you know, for a fee, we can set up your online profile with the IRS. Well, one, you can do that for yourself any day of the week for free. And two, in order to do that, you have to give them all your personal information, which is now compromised.
Yeah, there's a lot to watch for, I tell you. So let's see. If someone finds themselves victimized by a scam this year, what should they do? How can they report it? Just what would they do? Even can they get their money back? Or what are the steps that people should take?
Yeah, so this is one of the places with the AARP helpline, 877-908-3360, can help. You might not know where to report it locally. Or unfortunately, this happens sometimes. People call their local police department and the police department says there's nothing you can do. Well, you shouldn't take that for an answer. And so the helpline can help you get connected to your state attorney general, maybe the FBI. They can help let you know what some resources are to do. Getting your money back is always a tricky thing. You know, the vast majority of times you're not going to get your money back. However, you know, one of the growing ways that people are sending money to scammers these days are through these Bitcoin ATMs. You might see them at your grocery store or around. And so if you report it soon enough, if you've lost money through a Bitcoin scam where you've sent cryptocurrency to somebody and report it to the FBI, they might be able to go back and track that because it's got complex, you know, computer code behind it. They might be able to follow the footprints to locate that money and pull it back to you. But again, sort of time is of the essence. That's another reason. I mean, especially if you have been victimized by one of these cryptocurrency scams or been told to send crypto to somebody and realize later it was a scam, reporting those in particular right away is important because there's a little bit more of an opportunity to get the money back if you act quickly.
Okay, so acting quickly and reporting is really important. And share that number one more time.
Yeah, it's 877-908-3360. We get over 100,000 calls a year, and we have hundreds of volunteers spread all across the country, including in California, who help take those calls and help people out.
Great. Well, it's good to know that number is 877-908-3360 for fraud prevention, and they can help you. These volunteers are there to help with AARP. Seth, if you could leave our listeners with one soundbite regarding tax season frauds and scams, what would that be?
This goes for all frauds. Just think of these three words: stop, think, and verify. So a lot of scams come out of the blue. They come on your text message or on your email or on your phone call. Maybe you're on the phone with somebody and you're like, oh yeah, I need somebody to do my taxes. Whatever you're in, the first and most important thing is to do is stop. Find a way out of that conversation. Say, let me get your number. I'll call you back. So cut off communication. Walk away from the phone. Walk away from the computer. And then think, does this seem legitimate? Does this seem too good to be true? Was I looking for this, or did this amazing offer just show up in my lap? And then if you do think it might be legitimate, verify. And that's what we talked about before. Go do your own homework. Find your own way to that website and see if that offer for, you know, tax services or an amazing vacation at a price that can't be beat actually exists on a legitimate website. Stop, think, verify is the three steps to keep yourself safe.
I love it. Thank you so much for that. Stop, think, and verify. Seth, thank you for joining us on In Clear Terms with AARP California. Again, we have had the pleasure of speaking with Seth Bofelli, Senior Advisor on AARP's Fraud Prevention Programs, on tax season frauds and scams, how to spot them, avoid them, and report them. In future episodes, we look forward to hosting experts who can shed light on critical issues in our state, how AARP California is working to ensure the voice of those ages 50 plus is heard, and how you, our listeners, can learn more and act on these important decisions. Thank you for listening.